Hallo.
Hi.
Hallo, hallo.
Hey, everybody.
So. Share the screen. So, and this is the right room. Yeah. So, you should my browser. And this is the agenda for today. And as we don't have new members, so we can start with these points. Are there any other points for today? Okay, then I can give you some updates from the development. In our last meeting, there was a requirement to add an additional column for the report releases in the provider list. And so this is done. So you can see this in snapshot. So let's see snapshot here. Here. So here is the additional column, and you can find report releases as a list. And so if you only use one report release, you just see one report release. And if you have multiple report releases, then it's separated with a comma. And you can also sort the column, and it is a string, so it sorts with the beginning of the string. But
Yeah,
you...
it shows the releases of loaded reports, not the configured report, the report configuration. So there's,
Yes.
yeah, I've came already across that in our test system. So.
So that is the requirement if and use case when you have multiple usage data provider records for the same provider with different releases in the harvester configuration.
When I suggested this feature, I actually had in mind to have the configured release listed. But this makes more sense because when you filter this, you get exactly what you see. Otherwise, there might be differences from what you see and when you filter what you actually get. So this makes perfectly sense to me in this way.
And of course, you can also filter here in the search and the filter bar by release. So, and you get the same result. Okay, that's the little feature that we implemented. And we also have implemented the new icons. Zero reports that are reports that have no usage with the icon with a null here is like this. I think I showed you in one of the last meetings. So, but here you can see it on snapshot. And here's also the other icon with the calendar for 3031. A yellow icon with a calendar symbol. So, and the other one for 3032 is in review, but it's not available in snapshot today. But I think tomorrow you can see it. Can look into this issue here. It's also a calendar icon with red background. So, okay. And these COP error codes with 30 and tricks are handled by the UI, and it's not handled by the back-end module. So that means we just change the icon via the UI. And if we have other requirements for other icons that we need, we can change this in one day if we want. So it's not hard for us to do this.
I like these new icons. I was wondering about the 3040 exception. Do you all already have a plan how to actually show that? Because I just came across a problem where we have a 3040 exception, where the logging has gone wrong for a provider, and they deliver, for example, a either report with usage with a 3040 exception, which then has to be used because you won't get any additional information because they cannot reconstruct the missing usage. And you also might get a 3030 and 3040 combination because there was no usage, but some of the usage might have been lost. I'm still trying to figure out how to display this in our own system, and I'm not sure how to do that in Folio either. So, if you have an idea how to do that, I would be interested.
Okay. It's not discussed yet in this group, so I'm open for all solutions. And if you need a new icon, we can implement this and we can talk about an icon in the next meeting. Or if you have an icon, then we can also reuse this. But we have to use the icon set from Folio. And there is a set of icons for the UI from Folio. Stripes, is it? And it's recommended to use this icon set in Folio.
The color is independent from the icon itself, or is it part of the icon set?
It's part of the icon set, but we change the color.
Okay, so you could use a similar icon but in a different color. That would work. Okay.
Yes. So, and we can use any of these icons. So.
Yeah, what came to my mind is maybe using the actual icon, so the one with the zero or the check mark on it, but maybe in a different color, but I'm not sure about the color. I have to think about that.
Okay. Yeah, and then let me see. Yeah, we would like to start with remove the harvester function for counter four for the folio release umbrella leaf. So I asked in the Slack channel about this topic. Is there someone that needs this functionality for the harvester? And I get the response that we can remove this function from the harvester, but you can still use counter four reports within the manual upload feature from usage. So that means if you have counter four reports, you can upload these reports via the upload form. So that's the first step.
You mentioned umbrella leaf. What's the status of Trillium? I'm not sure about that.
We Trillium comes in May, I think.
So the feature freeze already
We
okay.
stopped development for Trillium in January, and all features that we now implement are for Umbrella Leaf. So,
Okay, so these icon changes and these changes all are for Umbrella Leaf already.
yeah, let me double check this with the developers, but I think it is so. So, and thing is, with each release, we get some platform requirements from the release manager, and so we need an a time frame between our feature freeze and the official feature freeze from the Folio community. So, and in this time frame, we implement all platform requirements from Folio for usage. So, and after we remove the harvester function for counter four, we would like to implement two features that would like solve the problems with COP error codes starting with one and two. And it's a proposal from our team to handle these codes. And so we should discuss this here in the group if it's yeah, fits the requirement. So let's see. The first one is to handle these COP codes here, starting with one. And our proposal is that we add optional harvester properties for the usage data provider. That means, you get an additional section in the harvester configuration where you can configure some optional harvester properties. The first option is that you override the number of failed attempts from the global settings from usage. I think it was a requirement from Jason Moore that you set an individual number for the usage data provider. And the second option is if the server response is 1000, service is not available. You can set up the minutes for a new attempt. At the moment, you have only a new attempt after, I think, the most of you use 24 hours in the settings. And here you can set up the minutes for each provider. Then the other option, 1010, service busy, is the same. Also, 1011, report queued for processing. I think that's the most important one. And if the provider says, okay, I need time for to get all informations together for one report and it's queued, then you can say, okay, in 1 hour, I try it again to download the report, or 15 minutes. So it's very individual for each provider.
So there would be a similar configuration in the e-usage settings where you can set the defaults. Because you
It's
mentioned we are overwriting the default, so you have to set the default somewhere, and they would they be hard-coded or would they be configurable?
At the moment, we only use an one setting. Yeah, this periodic harvesting. So, and it's just one option
Yeah.
that you can choose, but if we need it, we can also add here an options where you can set global settings and then we override these settings with individual, if it's set it for the provider.
Yeah, I think it would make sense to have the same settings as global settings. Regarding the time frame in minutes, I was wondering if that's for 10:20, client has made too many requests. This is how would that be interpreted? Would I enter, for example, I can make 60 requests per minute, or is that something? When the limit is reached, it will wait as many minutes as specified. So would I configure the actual limit and the system would interpret that and then make a decision based on that? Or would I say, if that happens, if I run into that limit, then wait as long as specified?
It's a good question. If the harvester detects these error code, then the harvester waits, and then the harvester tries only the number of requests that you set up here in the time frame in minutes that you enter. So if you say, okay, the harvester only allows you to fetch 10 reports, or you can only make 10 requests in 1 hour, then you can say, okay, 10 and 16 minutes.
Okay, then we probably need seconds instead of minutes in this case, because we have cases like Scholarly IQ where you can make one request per second. I think minutes make sense for the other ones. You don't have to go below that. But for that 10:20, we need seconds. Otherwise, you would have to wait way too long. And you still could run into problems if you specify, for example, 60 per minute, because it's 1 per second, then you could still run into that limit, because if you request more than 1 per second, that would still exceed the limit.
Okay. And
So the question would be, if that is changed to seconds, if the other ones also should be changed to seconds. I'm not sure about that, whether that makes sense for consistency.
Yeah, we can use minutes or seconds. Can use both options.
Yeah, for the other ones, you probably shouldn't go below a minute. That's so that minutes would be fine for them. But the 10:20 is another case.
Okay, then we use the const14.20.
Yeah, then you could specify for scholarly IQ maybe one request every 2 seconds, and then you wouldn't exceed the limit. And you shouldn't get any of the 10-20 exceptions. Yeah. But
So,
it should be clear that this is really different from the other ones.
Yeah, and behind every options you have an info icon, and if you go over this icon, you get an explanation what it means. So in our group, we understand what each COP error code means, but for other users, you get an explanation what they have to do with this option.
Yeah, the other thing I was wondering about is these are seem to be required fields that you have to
Not,
fill in.
no. That's all optional properties, and if you activate an option, then it's required.
Okay, and if you don't activate it, you would see the default value, or
No.
that would be helpful if I could see the default value. So maybe in somewhat gray color. I'm not sure if that's, yeah, maybe as the other ones where you can select something.
It makes sense that
Yeah, or like for the custom ID where you have the explanation what you have to put in. And if that would be possible to show the default value in the same way, then you would know why you would have to override something, because you can immediately see what the current setting is.
Yeah, I think that it's we can do this. Just a placeholder for this input field. Okay, then let me see. Did I forget something? Ah, yeah, here in the detail view. Then you get also a new section after the harvesting configuration for these properties so that you can check this every time. So, because sometimes you don't have the permissions to edit to record, and then you can see what's going on.
Yeah, the question is how you would you also show the default in this case? Because the example shows for 10:10 service busy, nothing here.
Okay. That's right. That makes sense. So let's see. Yeah. And if you have time, you can read the info text here and the ticket. So, and what we can do is now the number of failed attempts is the info text. How many attempts can the harvester make? There is a default value in the global settings. You can override this with this option. So, and we can add this part also for the other options. When we would like to implement the global settings. And but I think it's another ticket to add the global settings for these different codes. So but let us start with this feature, and then we can add also the global settings later.
What would be the default for 10:20? That's a tricky one.
Yeah. So I have to ask the Tino.
So maybe something like not more than one request per second or something like that. Because there has to be lower limit, or yeah, some limit, because you can't simply say as quickly as the system is able to make requests. Well, you could do that, but
Yeah, I have to ask him. So, what's the default value? I know there are some problems with providers with this code. So, and there are some tickets in Jira also that I linked to these issue for 1020 and. Yeah, and I meet him, I think, in the next days, and we talk about these features. But we, yeah, in our last meeting, we also, in our refinement, we talked about these proposals, and our conclusion was that we need your, yeah, your feedback from the community, is this enough to solve these problems, or do we need an additional solutions? So, and it's good to hear that you need the default values, and also that we have to check what's the default value for 1020. So, and maybe we have to adjust also the default value for 1020.
Yeah, the one I know that's is Scholarly IQ. That's one request per second per customer. The other one where this could occur is JSTOR. You get a 10.11 exception. Report is queued, and you ask too often for the final report. If you do that, you at some point get a 10.20 exception. That's different, but yeah, I think if you have something like one request per second as a default, that could work, and you would have to only would have to override that in a few cases. So I think that's important to not set either a too high limit, so to really trigger too many requests that these exception 1020 occurs, and also not to set the limit too low, so that you really need a long time to harvest reports. So we ha have to find a compromise for between those two, and maybe one request per second would be a good starting point.
Okay, then I noticed this. So, and I asked him, and when we adjust 1020, then we can set 1 second for. One request per
Yeah,
second.
I would be interested what the current value is. I think the system will create as many requests as it can. So you might run into that limit, but I haven't actually tried that with Scholarly IQ.
Yeah. Okay, that's the feature for these tickets. And you can find the links also from the CUP error codes here, and they marked as blocked because we don't implemented this feature yet. So, and it's also blocked by the modification of the harvester. So, and our backend developer is waiting for the requirements that we need in the community, and now we have a solution, and he can start with the modification from the harvester. And yeah, the other ones are just related to this ticket. So, because we need an additional UI ticket for this UX prod and for the documentation. So. Okay, great. And we talked also about a test environment. And we think we can do this with snapshot. So when we implement this feature, you can test it on snapshot. And or you install the latest version of eUsage on your test system. There are many ways, so but we cannot give you a test installation from Leipzig, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's fine with me. We have our own Eureka test installation where we always run the latest version. So once the feature becomes available, we could test it.
So the next one, it's very tricky. And we split this feature in two features. It's about verifying credentials, and it's a solution that I have to explain for you. The first feature is that we're checking the login credentials when you're configuring the harvester. So, and when the harvester starts, the credentials can be correct or not. So let me explain you later. And when in the ongoing harvesting, we need an separate solution for the harvester itself to detect the COP error codes during the harvesting process. So, okay. And let's see the first feature. And yeah. After you configured your harvester, you click save and close, and all required fields are checked by usage. So if there are required fields, then usage checks this so that there are no changes. So and after you click on save and close, then usage checks the status of the harvesting status. If it's active and the harvesting while is counter sushi, a background process starts. And then it's more questions here. A loading spinner appears for the background process. And then the result came from the backend system. And if the connection is possible with the credentials, usage save the data record and close the edit mode. But if it's not possible to connect to the server, then a window appears. Yeah. And you get information what was going wrong. And here we need some informations in let me see what I had to ask you. Yeah, so the first is step two, when you only edit the record but you don't change the credentials. Do we need also a check in the background? That's the first question. We can divide it. It's possible. And in step three, how long can the verification take at most? Do we need a timeout or an option for canceling? And then from the backend side, we should categorize what should be displayed here in this window when there is no connection possible. So let's start with the first one here.
This is strictly for release 5.1, or would you also do this in release 5?
For both of them.
Because that might make a difference, because you cannot check the for release 5.1, you can use the status endpoint to check if the base URL is even correct. You can't do that for release 5. So this might make a difference. I'm not sure. You need a timeout, and if the timeout occurs, you should display that there was a timeout. Same if you don't get a connection, that's another kind of timeout. So you can have the connect timeout or the response timeout. And you should simply get the user should get the information that something timed out, that the credentials couldn't be checked. But they still could save them, if I understand this correctly.
Yes,
Yeah.
that's right.
That's important because for some reason the Content API server might not available at the moment, or might, for example, return exception 1000. That could also happen.
Yeah, you have
Our service is busy.
always the option to save the record, also if there is an error. And yeah, so, and you said it's only possible to verify the service URL with 5.1 and not with 5.
The problem is you don't have an endpoint without authentication in release 5. This changed in release 5.1. The status endpoint has no authentication. So you can simply test the base URL by using the status endpoint. And you cannot do that separately in release 5. So the issue actually might be that somebody enters the wrong URL and then the correct credentials, but it still doesn't work. And you cannot really detect that in release 5.
And our approach
Yeah, the
is
member
to.
list, that's another thing I was thinking about. Basically, that's should be fine, but the problem is that this is the endpoint that has actually the worst implementation rate, or the most errors in the implementations. So I'm not really sure if that's a good idea. It seems to be in the first place because that's the endpoint where it makes sense to check the credentials. But I'm not so sure about that. Maybe reports would be the better choice. The advantage of members is that you get back the if it's implemented correctly, you get back the actually information about the institution and the credentials. So you could, for example, display the institution name or something like that was returned. If you use another endpoint like reports, that doesn't work.
It's this one here.
And we actually have a feature in our National Statistics Server platform, not in the web interface, but on the command line, where we can check the credentials, and we provide actually have a parameter where you can choose the endpoint. You could also say I'm using PR.
Oh, you are muted. We cannot hear you. Can you
Actually, I
speak?
should
Yes,
be.
now.
That's interesting because my microphone was actually not muted. The problem is that reports should work. The chance that it works is much better than for members. And but the alternative might be to actually use a report. But creating report, even if it's just a PR or a PRP1, might take some time. So usually the response from reports is much faster.
Okay, then we change to the report list, the API endpoint, and not use the member list. It makes sense because we would like to also add a feature for the report types, and so we can check this together in one way. So, and
And that would be another question. You said you would only make that check when you save the form, but it would make sense to actually fetch the report information once the credentials have been entered.
That's the reason why we split it. And this is just when you're configuring the harvester. But if it's our approach is that you then if it's detected, then the harvesting status is set to inactive and you have to go through the process again.
No, I think that was a misunderstanding. I was talking about the actual report configuration in the harvester configuration. If you go back to the configuration, the first thing you should enter is the base URL. If it's release 5.1, you could check if that actually works. The next step is that you usually enter the credentials, and once you have both, you could use the reports endpoint to actually fetch the information about the available reports and populate them, the report information with that. So that, and you could get that information from the registry, but that information may rely on the custom based on the customer. For example, if there's a database report, but I don't have any database products on for that provider, the provider might not offer the database report for me. But you could see that when you use the reports endpoint, and you should only get the reports that are available for you, including the information about the beginning and end time. The starting time is the most information, or starting date from where you can fetch the reports. So
Yeah, let me think. We need
the
another concept here. Maybe
yeah
another button or an check after you enter something.
it makes the whole thing more complex, so I'm not sure if that's a really good idea. But this is what would be possible with the API endpoints.
But what we can do is that we gray out the sections here, and you have to check the credentials. And after that, is it possible to get the report types for the provider? Because we with the request, we get the report types.
And you can could pre-populate those fields, or either if the report request fails, offer this to be edited manually, something like that. But it
So,
would make the whole form more interactive, so that
yeah, let me check this with our UI developer. Maybe we can add sliders here.
And the advantage would be that you already have checked the credentials, so you wouldn't have to do that when saving the form. And you maybe you could use that because the date from where you can request the reports might change over time. So you also might use that for updating that information.
Yeah, that's true. We can detect the CUP error codes later with the harvester, and then if it's detected, you the option for harvesting status is inactive, and you have to edit the UTP record again, and then you have the same procedure. And we can also do this for report types. It was a question how we can do this. So we can do this with one request to the server. We can merge these two requirements in one feature. So we not only check the credentials, we also check the report types at this moment when you're configuring the harvester. So that makes also sense for me. And we have one feature that fits these two requirements. And then we have also to add this requirement for detection for the COP error codes, not only for the credentials, also for report types. And we can. It makes sense to stop the harvesting process because you get errors if you set up wrong report types. So, what I heard from Martina, that there are some provider that only offer standard views, and if you try to load the counter reports, an error message appears. So it's not the standard, but you get the error code.
Actually, you get really strange error codes in that case, or even not an error code, but something like a 400 or 500 exception from the web server, an HTTP status code chest, and some HTML page or something like that. That can happen. But I'm wondering if you actually want to support that, or if you would say in that case you have to upload the reports manually.
HTTP codes are not a problem. We can only interpret the CUP error codes because it's a structured JSON format, and HTTP codes, it's very difficult to filter out what is the reason why it's not possible to download.
I actually asked that in the counter-code team recently. Was dropping the 3000 exception in release 5.1 in favor of just a 404 HTTP code a mistake? Because if you try to request non-supported report, you just get a 404 HTTP code back and any kind of content in that page. There is no exception 3000 in release 5.1. So you have to actually interpret the HTTP code if only just the 404. You could ignore the other ones because all the other ones are related to a specific exception, but the 404. That's just a REST API. You try a non-supported endpoint, so you get a 404.
Okay. This is a great feature.
And regarding the report providers that don't support the counter reports, just some standard views, you cannot expect anything. Everything could happen if you try to request a counter report.
Yeah, we checked the standard, and they must offer counter reports
Yeah,
alongside
but
the
some
listing.
don't do that. The most prominent example probably is Gibi Ginios, which caused the most problems, which also same as FAZ is on the same platform, and we have really trouble with harvesting their reports. And there is a number of smaller German publishers who only have implemented a few standard views or just a single one.
Is it a misunderstanding?
No,
Count counter reports, right?
they simply implemented what was easy for them.
Yeah, but I'm not sure if it's a misunderstanding counter
No.
reports because it's renamed.
No.
Eh?
No.
No?
In some
Okay.
cases, I know that it wasn't a misunderstanding. It was a deliberate decision not to implement what was called the countermaster reports or now the counter reports. They deliberately just implemented some of the standard views.
Yeah. Okay. Then I up like I edit these tickets in the next days and
Yeah. Now, regarding just these report providers that only have some standard views, the question remains whether you actually want to support harvesting their reports, because that would be a significant difference to the usual reports that would have to be taken into account when you, for example, then have the e-usage reports plugin, which just has some of the standard views available, but not maybe not the data you want to use for evaluations.
Yeah. Okay. Our prioritization is this list here, and we have time with this feature for the credentials and report types, so we can I can make the updates on these tickets, and then we can talk about again this new feature. That it's merged with the report types, and if we say that that's our feature that we want to, then we can start with the implementation. But I think we start with this one here, and I think dates are done. So, and removing the harvester function for counter four. Okay, and I think we should skip this part here for today. But for your information, it's a feature to add templates in usage. I think we should talk about this in the next meeting to have more time for this. No, that's not the right one. Yeah, integrate providers. It should be a helpful feature that you can automatically fill out the input fields from the counter registry informations. So you can select a provider from counter registry and usage. Fetch the data from counter registry and fill out all the fields automatically. So it's planned, and I think it's better when we talk about this in the next meeting when we have more time for this.
Yeah, that might, if you add a check of the reports endpoint, you might have the information about the reports from two sources. Once from the registry and once from the reports endpoint. And I would suggest to actually use the one from the reports endpoint if you have that information available, and use the registry information as a fallback. Because the reports endpoint might be more precise than what you find in the registry, And this would also work for providers that are not in the registry. So that would be the better choice.
So you can read the ticket, and we should talk about this in the next meeting. So to see if this is a good feature for you, or should we add more? We would like to try without caching the data. So, but if it's necessary, we add the data to the database if it's needed. So, but we would like to try it on Snapshot if it's possible to load the data when you're configuring the usage data provider. But we have to see how well it works. And if it's not work, then works, then we should add a caching process.
Yeah, caching would make sense in the sense that you don't have to request that information multiple times when configuring multiple identity provider multiple usage data providers in a short time, but not storing that information for a longer time because it might change. So if the response isn't fast enough, you could tell me, and I will talk to the colleagues who are running that service.
Yeah, or there is an way to make a whitelist for different institutions that they have can make more requests.
Yeah, that would be another issue if you run into some limit where the requests are refused, but I don't think that's a real concern here.
Okay, yeah. So the question is when we meet again. So, I think we need time to implement these features here. And so it makes sense to meet. I think. I'm on vacation. I think at the end of April, but there's also Eastern time between these meetings. So when we have Eastern time is.
April 6th is Easter Monday.
Okay, then
So
it's.
I think there's a rule we shouldn't have a meeting in the last week of the month. That was a suggestion from the one of the councils.
In 4 weeks.
You mean on that would be March 30th?
Yes.
That's the week before Easter. I'm not sure. I could make it. I'm not sure if everybody else would be able.
It's okay for the other members. March 30. Okay, then I create the invitation for you, and then we meet in 4 weeks again. So, and then I think it makes sense to talk about this feature here, and so make sure that it fits the requirements. So, and okay. Then have a nice sunny day, and see you all.
Bye.
Bye.
Ciao, ciao.